Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Robert are back for our episode 2 predictions and power rankings. And today we are joined by Edge of Extinction star. Yeah, that's right, Rick. I said star.
Rick Devins.
Rick Devins. He's kind of like the Gopian led to the slaughter here. You're going to be the first person who's actually doing a power rankings for us this season. You're the first Edge of Extinction person to take on this task. How you feeling?
There are so many people. It's really hard. It's like, I'm so proud that I know all their names. Now I'm like, I have to keep track of rankings. That's complicated.
Well, we'll see if you actually know all their names, because we're going to get into 1 to 19 here. And when you sit there and you're like, well, I have 18. Who did I miss? That's when it starts to become really fun.
That's absolutely going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier, you know, those people who can get like final, even like 12. At least it's manageable here. It's, you got to know everybody on the cast except Ronnie Barta.
Who?
Yeah, there you go.
No. A shocking number one out. I couldn't believe it.
I know. A poker player. You didn't have any poker players on your season, did you?
Yeah. Right. Dude, it was amazing how many of those faces and things he said that I was just like, oh my God, it's Wardog. Wardog with hair. This is so weird.
Exactly. That would be weird. Wardog with hair. I don't like the idea of that. What did you think? So what did you think of the first episode? We'll obviously talk about pretty much everybody in this entire cast, but what are you feeling after that first hour and a half? They got an hour and a half, Rick, premiere.
They did. I'm jealous they got an hour and a half. They did. They made good use of that extra half hour too. I loved it. I was at a watch party. So the first time I watched it, I was picking up most of it, but it's really hard to actually watch it one of those. But I went and rewatched it, and it was just great. Like, so many of these different players, and we'll get into it, surprised me. And the Rob and Sandra, I thought, like, I'm such a fan of those two. I've never been upset that they're coming back. So I loved it, especially when they were in the little booth at the end. Sandra with the line of the night when she's just like, F no. I vote you out, you stay out. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a lot of crap.
It was a really strong first episode.
I got a lot of crap for that.
It was nice how we were 50 minutes in and they were still just like getting through confessionals before the immunity challenge. And it was just like, this is normally a full episode that we get of just like them talking to us.
Exactly. And no marooning or anything, which takes up a lot of time, which I love the maroonings, but I also love when they do anything different. So this was so cool. And I just thought, like, what would I think if I was out there and hadn't seen Jeff for 3 days? I'd be going crazy.
What would you have thought? Because Will and I, for our patrons, we actually started up this thing where Will, who used to be the original Survivor Specialist before Alexa, he's going to be doing recaps with me each week too. But we're doing this with the patrons because we have this, our regular recap. But he was saying, like, we were trying to decipher what we thought you'd be thinking. And he was just kind of like, it doesn't really matter. I guess you'd be a little paranoid. But what would have been going through your head if you don't see Jeff for the first 3 days and you just see Island of the Idols?
I would literally look around every 2 seconds waiting for him to just pop up on the beach. I would absolutely assume there are idols everywhere, that idols were going to be a huge part of the season. But I know when we got up on that boat and Jeff came and talked to us, that was like the first time we could talk to each other, and it introed the whole game, and he hid what Edge of Extinction was, but we didn't know that he was hiding it. Like, we just took it for granted. Like, oh, look, these four returning players were on the Edge of Extinction. So if I was just sitting there waiting it and there was no Jeff, I would absolutely be getting paranoid and thinking we're supposed to be doing something. Like, we have to find something for him to come out, or I wouldn't know what's going on, but I'd have a lot of
like Jeff is hiding out in the forest and you have to go like actually look for him.
Just waiting for someone to dig him up.
That's all they want.
What are we doing building this shelter? Jeff needs us.
He's in one of those like weird things just buried to his neck. The tide's coming in. Please find me. Please.
Grab the crawling up.
I love it. There's a lot of people in our chat who are also scared because they're like, well, where's Alexa? So we're talking about where's Jeff. Alexa's still working with MLB. She'll be back in November.
We have to find her.
I know, we have to find her. Actually, guys, yeah, that's the thing. Alexa's not working for MLB, but good luck finding her. But yeah, she's out. She's out on the prowl. So intern is filling in. Sorry, guys. It's just intern.
Two Hokies, baby.
Two Hokies.
I'm out there. We have a lot to be proud of right now, but whatever.
Oh, yeah. You guys look good against Duke.
It says the Miami. Yeah.
Okay, we look good against Central Michigan. We won by 5.
Yeah. Dolphins are looking good, too.
At least I'm not a Dolphins fan.
Oh, there you go. I'm a Washington, D.C. fan, so I'm ready for any other season.
You're ready for Survivor. That's what you're ready for.
Yes. Let's get back to Survivor real quick.
Let's get back to Survivor real quick. We'll do that real quick. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing the power rankings this season. 19 people. You got your work cut out for you, Rick. It's not going to be easy. Intern and I are also going to be doing it. We do a game through our Patreon, where if you're a $20 patron, you get to participate in the power ranking game as well. You send in your power rankings. Everybody send in your power rankings if you're a part of that.
Which is why you should become a patron.
Exactly.
By the way.
Send it in. Normally we say by like Monday night, but like if you're a little late every now and then, as long as you get it to us by like sometime, you know, first half of Wednesday, that's all we really ask for. But if you're not a patron yet and you want to participate, you can compete against the likes of Rick Devins and all the other people who are going to follow in his footsteps and not do nearly as well, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
That's what we're hoping.
I certainly hope so. I imagine the last person you have on is Chris Underwood. He's just going to blow me out of the water.
That's it. We're saving him for final six. That's what we're doing.
Perfect.
So you get final 19. He gets the easy task, air quotes, for anybody listening on iTunes.
Yeah.
Well, intern, do we
have a cheat sheet here of the pictures of the tribes? Is that allowed?
Yeah, that's absolutely allowed. I was going to say, do we want to throw you under the bus right away, or intern, do you want to go first? I want to save mine for first, because before we went live, intern goes, Phil, who's your number one? And I was like, wow, he's trying to cheat already. So you guys
start with the strongest or the weakest?
Start with the strongest. We work our way to the person you think is going to be voted out. There's always going to be those people in the middle who we don't know too much about. We can kind of give our takes, but you know, if you want to go first, Rick, who you got at number one?
Oh, man, the number one strongest position right now? I'm going to go with – boy, have you guys already got it figured out?
Oh,
I'm
going to
go with Jack. I'm going to go with my boy Jack.
Like your actual son, Jack?
Yeah, my actual son. Yeah.
He's not getting voted out of Survivor.
No, because Jack, you know, as we all know now, he's been through that pregame part before because he was an alternative on our season. So we went through all the pregame Ponderosa. So he's probably been able to focus on these other players a little more than everyone else because he's not so weirded out by everything that's happening. He seemed to be getting along with everybody out there. I mean, when you can follow Molly around squirting her with a clam, that shows that people like yeah. you. And he's doing great in the challenges. He was bringing Dan up on that ramp. And in the preview for next week, they showed him doing real well in the swimming challenge. So I'm going with Jack number one.
Yet, intern really loved Jack. So, intern, why don't you talk about Jack a little bit here?
Well, Jack, yeah, I thought it was crazy, like, just watching his challenge performance. Like, he like, climbed, like, he was like a monkey climbing his way up. And then, like, he's like, oh, my team needs me. I'm just going to go, like, grab the rope and then pull everybody else up one by one. Like, that's some incredible challenge performance right there. So, he's definitely safe. I feel like he's definitely safe this next round.
Yeah. Yeah. Intern, why don't you do your number one here?
My number one, I have Elaine. I think she probably got enough sympathy from that last thing. And, like, I think the edit tried to show us that, like, oh, she probably isn't safe or whatever. But then she was on the right side of the votes. So I think even though the edit may have led us astray, you know, she'll be fine. So,
yeah, I think Elaine is fine. I was really surprised that that's who we were supposed to believe was going home at Tribal Council. They didn't have Vince have like paranoia at all. It was all on Elaine. And we all kind of knew Elaine wasn't getting the vote. So I thought that was really weird.
But imagine
did you know that? I did not know that. I was sitting there panicking that Elaine was going home.
Imagine if they pulled the rug out from under us, though. Like, they've been messing up the edits, like, recently to, like, throw people off guard. And they totally could have just sent her home first. Which would
you guys in your edits. I feel like the edit to Edge of Extinction was pretty solid. We were just very erratic players.
Your winner wasn't on the season for half of it, Rick. My God.
That had nothing to do with the edit.
Well, I mean, kind of. We didn't have to get that winner getting their content, but you've been doing a little too much RHAP over there, Rick. I think that's what's going on. They don't like talking about edit over there, right? We only talk about edit.
Oh, really? All
that's
right,
it.
I got it.
See you later. my number one. Elaine was also MVP. So anybody who voted, I just want to throw that out there. Of course, on Vaughn's team,
dude. Elaine is so awesome.
Elaine was great. Elaine was definitely great. My number one, I have Chelsea Walker. I was low on Chelsea, not low on Chelsea all season, not preseason, but I had her kind of low. I just don't think there's any way that Chelsea ends up going home this week.
Yeah,
I
mean, killed that puzzle.
Well, she killed that puzzle so well, Rick, and her name didn't come up once. And I think that means she's playing a great social game. And in this early part of the game, I think Aaron has completely solidified himself as a target over there. I think Elaine is still always going to be a target. I just don't see Chelsea being a target. I think she's getting along with everybody because of how
Have
big of a fan
Chelsea Phil.
No.
Okay, I thought you maybe meant. Yeah, exactly. LA people, got to stick up for your person.
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I also have Dan Spilo at number two.
I actually think Dan's doing great. I'm with you on Dan.
I don't have Dan Spilo at number two, sorry. But I just don't think Chelsea's going home. I just don't see it. I mean, we didn't get enough of her to warrant her going home in episode two. And I think what she got was like really clear content. We got like, even though she only got one confessional, there were other moments throughout. So I like where she's sitting.
She seems to be in with that girl alliance that's got the numbers now too over there.
Yeah, she was in the big alliance and she's got the girl alliance. So I think there's a lot going on there. So does anybody want to do their number two or should I just do mine since it's another one of those wasted picks where Rick's going to give me shit?
Which LA person is it?
It's not an LA person. I have Tommy Sheehan because he looks like me.
Oh, well, yeah. That was actually the first thing I saw when I saw him. Is like, hey, it's Phil.
It's Phil, except like 6'3 and handsome. Like, what's going on here?
That's how I feel about Josh Wiggler. It's like it's me, except everybody loves him.
Yeah, I hate when that happens. Yeah. I need the worst versions of me, which if I could find that person, they could be my friend forever. But I got Tommy.
The worst version of me is in Subway commercials and now jail. So.
And that's the end of this podcast. Thanks for joining us, Rick Devins. We appreciate everything.
Sponsored by Quiznos.
Yeah. That would be great. We got to call up Quiznos and tell them. You know, don't worry. We're ripping on Subway. We got you.
Yeah.
My number two, though, I do have Tommy. I think Tommy had a really good first episode. He stayed out of the target on that tribe, and I don't see Vokai going home anytime soon, which, I mean, we could talk about that, but I just don't see Vokai losing. They were just a stronger tribe.
Yeah, Laro is definitely the Manu of this season. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of entertaining people, and I don't see him winning anything.
Yeah, that's what I think. And, like, you know, because you've been on a tribe that loses first. When you lose first, it's hard to recover from that first loss.
And we sent home someone who we didn't feel was that strong in challenges. They sent home a strong person. So,
yeah
that's going to be
shooting themselves in the foot right there. Yeah.
And speaking of Ronnie, I do have – this is meant for Survivor Ron Clark, who I love, but I'm wearing it in honor of Ronnie since this is the episode for him.
You should have put like a little piece of paper that just says knee, NIE, like right on the side there.
It says Survivor Ron for anyone listening on podcast.
Exactly. I love this intern. People are complaining that you're not talking about. We got Jace Phipp calling Dean the intern.
Dean the intern. Purple well, at least intern. At least I do have cool shoes, so I'll take that as a compliment.
Who's your number two intern? And then we'll let Rick go last.
Number two, I have Molly. I thought Molly, you know, we saw her just like hanging out, having a good time with people, and she's on Vokai. So they're just going to, you know, keep winning. And if they need to vote someone out, it won't be her.
I love Molly. Big Molly fan. Molly's didn't think incredible. I was going to like her as much as I did, but I'm a big fan.
I actually felt the same way. I didn't know how I was going to like Molly, and she seemed like everyone out there really loves her.
Yeah, she's great. And even the clams can't get even the clams.
We saw a lot of those big clams out there. I never had one spit. Like, that was crazy. That was a lot of fun.
That was awesome. Who's your
with the chief, Janet, the lifeguard, who I kept thinking was making huge mistakes by stepping up to do everything, and everything she touched, she just crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, everyone seems to really like her. She's dominating in every facet of the game. Again, the preview for next week, it looks like she crushes it in the swimming challenge. No surprise. So I'm going with Janet.
I want intern. Take notes there. Janet. I got so much crap before the season, Rick. She like literally 20 minutes away from where I grew up, 30 minutes away from where I grew up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I know the high school she worked at, and I'm just like, oh, so I love Janet. And then she turns out to be great, and now she can be my Victoria of the season. I am so stoked.
There you go. She can be the one you have a big crush on this season. I love
it. So Rick, if you were wondering if we were ever going to ask you back, you keep putting Janet at number two. We're going to ask you back pretty much every week. So just
all right.
Janet number three. Ooh, that's a little too low. Sorry.
Jack better watch his back. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Janet might have an eye on that number one spot.
Seriously. I thought she had a great episode. I know Elaine got MVP, but for somebody on the winning tribe, Janet could not have had a better episode for somebody who was on the winning tribe.
When she stepped up for fire, I thought, ooh, mistake, and she killed it. We spent days out there. It was an entire tribe. Chris Underwood's big muscles, my whatever. Wardog, no luck. So I was just totally impressed. And then she nails the grappling hook. Like, she was awesome.
Yeah, I thought she was fantastic. And also
this fire. Oh, I made the fire.
There was no question. Never even a doubt. Intern, you want to go first this time? You're the only one
that's we'll do it. My number three, I have Tommy. Not because he looks like me, but because I think he's playing pretty well. So
Not because he looks like Phil. That's not the way.
No, actually, it is because he looks like Phil. Yeah, surprise.
Okay,
seems to be doing well. I don't know.
I like Tommy because he's wearing a blue sweater, even though he's on the purple tribe, and he got away with wearing a color that doesn't really fit his tribe. So that's why I'm a big Tommy guy. He's already beaten the system, and he hasn't even really started playing yet.
Yeah, big fan of that. He's getting in all their heads, I'm sure.
I love it. Yeah,
is he on their tribe? Or is he wearing better blue?
Fiji? I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah, I love it. Why don't you go for three here, Rick? We'll just keep alternating this.
Great. I'll go with Jamal.
That's my Jamal. Number three.
You go. I thought Jamal really killed it out there. Everyone seemed to really like him. There was, I think, a time when he wasn't like in the conversation, but they mentioned him. Like someone was still looking out for his best interests, even though he wasn't there. And he seemed to just do everything great.
Yeah. I thought he was great, and he's like such – Alexa kept calling him like he's big, but he seems so soft and so nice, and that's exactly what he was.
And he seems like he's a big guy who can like definitely help out in the challenges, but I speak from experience, like not being cut out of stone out there, you don't stand out as much, and it's just a great place to go, and he's just going to get more and more in shape as the longer he stays out there.
Yeah.
So I love it, yeah. Not that he doesn't seem like he's ready to kill it right now.
I mean, hey, he was able to get up there,
A-frame,
you know?
No,
I mean, especially he had Jack, Macho Man Jack, Rick Devins is number one, pulling him up.
Yeah, I mean, if you have Jack helping you out, of course you're going to be great at challenges.
That's it. That's all
amazing.
You
need.
Oh, no. Oh, are we starting this already? Rick Devins. No,
if anything, it's Janet amazing.
I like that.
As Gavin, actually, I'll credit for that one.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, okay. You didn't have to give him the credit, Rick. We could have just given it all to you. But
good job coming up with that, Rick.
Yeah.
all by yourself.
Thanks. I also love fried pickles.
Yikes.
That's a deep dive, Gavin reference.
Oh, no. We know. My number four and my number five have already been mentioned. So I'm just going to put them both out there. I got Janet at four and I got Jack at five. I think they were both fantastic. And I don't see Vokai going home this week. So my top is very Vokai heavy. I just think Wyro loses again. I don't know when we're going to swap out. Maybe we do it at 16. Maybe we do it at 15. Maybe we do it at 18. I don't know. But like if we do it at 16, I think Wyro's losing three times. And I don't see this being the week that they win. They're just beat up and they're not working together the way the other group is. I don't really see any conflict. And that's why we saw Dan's stuff last week. Like, we saw Dan because there's not much conflict going on that tribe, so they have to create something.
Exactly. And that conflict was such a nothing. It's like, you know, you're out there and someone says, I didn't like this. And he's like, oh, I totally accept that and won't do it anymore. It's like, oh, great.
Yeah. We're good. That's done. We figured it out.
Yeah.
Imagine if Wardog would have been like that, Rick. Imagine.
He was. You saw the mud bath thing, but I just dealt with it. I wish I had said something.
I wish you had said something too, because that's something that's burned into my memory and will never go away. So thanks a lot for that.
That's the gift that keeps on damaging people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. For Halloween intern, we should go as Rick Devins and Wardog giving each other mud baths.
Yeah, we just like carry around buckets of mud and like slap it on each other. And then we have to like wash it all up so we can do it again.
It's even more amazing because people would have no idea what this was in reference to.
It would just be creepy as all hell. I don't know. I like this idea. I like it a lot.
We got something.
I'm ready. All right.
I got one from the other tribe.
Let's hear it.
I'm going with Missy for my number four.
Mm.
I met her in person, I need to say, and she was just an absolute delight. Like, I think even more than you saw on the show. But when you watch the show, everyone was referencing Missy. Like, everyone went to talk to Missy. When they asked about Elizabeth not being there, they were like, Missy, do you got Elizabeth? And she's like, yeah. So, and then at Tribal, when everyone was getting emotional, she was just straight as a board, like nothing. So I think she's going to crush it.
I love that. I love Missy so much.
Just like Sandra wanted, you know, emotionless, heartless, ready to vote out anyone.
As much as I hated those opening things, maybe it is kind of telling you, like, somebody like Sandra won twice because it didn't bother her to vote these people out. And I feel like that's Missy. She just doesn't care.
Yeah.
I love that.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at that. I'm like, oh, I feel bad about everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Being emotionally detached is a very good thing in Survivor.
There you go, intern. Everybody else, you heard it here first. Intern, who's your number four?
I'm going to go number four and number five back to back because we've talked about them. I have Jack and Chelsea for, you know, being very strong in challenges and being very socially capable and not being anywhere near the firing line at Tribal Council.
Did you meet Chelsea?
No, I have not met Chelsea.
Okay. See,
I wish I had. People can throw Chelsea
in the top five without having met her. It's okay.
Number one, when you failed at your only part of the only challenge of the season, I thought it was a little bit of a reach.
That might be fair. That might be fair. Hey, like I said, I think she's cool. I like Chelsea. I underrated her before the season. I got to make amends.
Did she like slide you a 20
or
something?
Did she tell you have to make amends?
Yeah, I got a Chelsea like T-shirt on right now. So
that she gave me. I'm gonna wear Survivor Chelsea.
Oh God! Did you get one of those from Ghost Island for some reason?
Yeah.
Ghost Island.
No.
Right. Duh. Sorry, I already forgot about Chelsea from Ghost Island.
No, we've
already seen more of this Chelsea.
That's the best part. Is that me saying that there's 172 people listening right now, and 171 of them went, huh? That's a terrible joke, Phil. Get off the air. Well, I've already done my five. So, Rick, you got your number five. That's what we're looking for.
My number five is Tommy. I'll go with Tommy, who you guys already mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there I'll go number six, Molly, that you guys mentioned too.
Okay. What did you think about Molly in that first episode? Because I was like really big on the edit Molly got, but what were you thinking?
I just thought that, I mean, every time they went to her, she was smiling. She didn't have any kind, you know, she was in the same situation as Kelly, but Kelly was the one that had to take the bullet in terms of, you know, confronting someone about something awkward. And then she seemed to be getting along great with Jack. She was always in the majority when people were talking, which is where you want to be early. I just thought she nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't stand out in the challenge, good or bad, which is perfect.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to stand out for the rest of the game either. It's one of those weird things where, like, a lot of times, like, the stronger guys are threats right after and the weaker women are threats early. She's neither of those. So once she hits the merge, I feel like she can just cruise and cruise and cruise. And, like, with how much we saw from her, I'm like, we didn't need her to narrate everything. But she was a damn good narrator, and I was a really big fan of it. And we get the clam shooting her in the face, and it's like – I'm all about it. We didn't get a single confessional from Dean, who's on the losing tribe, but we get Molly getting hit in the face with a clam.
Yeah.
I love it. My number six actually is Lauren, who we have not talked about like at all. But I'm just playing the numbers here and throwing out some people who like no screen time. Seems like she's really entertaining. So I feel like we're going to get more of her before she goes home. She had a really good confessional early on and then just really was nothing. So I really don't know how I feel about her, but when there's 19 people, I feel confident putting her in the top third. Cause sometimes we saw this with Morgan Rickey and we've seen this in the past. Sometimes the people who get really big first episode, suddenly they go in episode two and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? So I wanted to put her up there because I just think she got so little and she seems like not, she didn't get so little because she's boring. So
right.
I like her.
Yeah, I think Lauren, like she was fun for like, I think I saw a stat actually that was like the first like 7 or 9 confessionals were all women this season, which is really cool. And yeah, she seems really strong and, like really fun to like listen to and really good at confessionals. So
yeah, she was early.
She was definitely still smiling. Like it doesn't seem like it's affecting her negatively at all being out there. And that's a real good sign for longevity.
Yeah. Intern, you're the only one who hasn't gotten 6 yet.
Six. Oh, I haven't numbered this list, so I should count. Okay. 6 is Janet. I mean, Janet, amazing. And then going down to 7, we have Jamal. So big teddy bear. Held himself well on challenges. There we go. Did I just skip ahead to 7? Has everyone done number 6?
You led the way, man. You're blazing.
There we go. Okay, I didn't want to like skip someone. Yeah, there we go. Jamal, number 7. Final answer.
Good right, answer.
What about you, Phil?
I am.
Sorry, I went.
I'm podcasting from a new place, so maybe I'm delayed, but my internet just completely froze. So I'm like, all right, let me make sure I'm caught up here. I heard Welcome Jamal back. Number 7.
Welcome back from the time rift.
Yeah, Jamal went number 7. 6, Jamal 7. 2 good choices.
Yeah,
2 good choices. My number 7 is Elaine, and then my number 8 is Missy. So like, I'll just keep on going. When we talked about people, we talked about, I put Elaine a little bit lower just because she was. I mean, she's going to be our fan favorite no matter how far she goes. Yeah. We've seen this in the past. I mean. Yes, Rick, you came back into the game and ended up going all the way to the final four fire making challenge. But like you were like the fourth person voted out. We've gotten so much of you early on. And so like there's just certain characters that are going to get a lot of screen time, no matter who they are, no matter what place they finish. Yeah. I think Elaine is one of those people. I don't think she's in any trouble on that tribe. But it's weird that they're already throwing her name out as being too likable, which I think is so bizarre.
Yeah. But in the very first episode, it's like you want likable people around for a little while just so you don't go nuts.
Yeah, like I wouldn't want, like, could you imagine if, like, you just vote out everybody likable and then you look around and you're like, I hate every one of these people and I got 15 more days of starving and hanging out with them. Like, no, thank you.
You end up with just like a War Dog Devin's final 2.
Oh, God. And how Reddit explodes. And then I have Missy at number 8. She was my winner pick preseason. I thought she had a great first episode. So I'm loving Missy.
Yeah, you should. She's awesome. Like I really, really enjoyed her. I'm going international for number 7.
Ooh,
my boy Tom, the hockey player, who I felt at the beginning, I thought, oh my gosh, this guy is lost out there. He's going off on his own. He's befriending what seemed like the weakest, most outcast players in the game. I even turned at one point during the premiere and said, oh my gosh, there's Reem, Wendy, and Keith. Like the 3 that went off, you point, it's that easy. But then throughout the episode, when he kept telling Elaine, like, no, you're good. We got the numbers. No problem. I'm thinking he's crazy. But it turns out he had a grasp on the game the entire time. He seems to be a cornerstone of that alliance. Like, I can't imagine Vince or Elaine wanting to turn on him at this point. He's like the big, strong guy that didn't vote with Aaron. I feel like he's in a really good spot right now.
I have him at number 9. I was super impressed with Tom. I'm really surprised how well he knows the game. Yeah. And he, you know, a lot of times, you know, they call him the bruiser, and that's what Jeff was calling him before the game and all that stuff. But that's not how he's coming across. He's coming across the way Jamal's coming across, very soft-spoken, very calm. And I think that that always works wonders in Survivor, especially early on, especially when you're a big guy. Now you're in the majority alliance. So if they're going to turn on somebody in the majority alliance, it's not going to be him because they've already gotten rid of one of your big, big guys.
Yeah. And so, he just, like, the big-time hockey player from Canada who grew up on the farm who just automatically is like, man, I love this, you know, gay Hmong guy. Like, he's just awesome. I love that twosome. It's just so cool. He seems like – he's just someone I want to get to know more. Like, I really, really liked him after episode 1.
And I was thinking – when I started watching, I thought Tom was going to be, like, like an Alan Ball, kind of just like hard-headed, like I'm a hockey player, I'm gonna, you know, beat up everybody else that gets in my way. But he was more of like John Hennigan. What was his nickname?
Johnny Mundo.
Johnny Mundo. Yeah, he's like a huge Johnny Mundo. So that's what he reminds me of. I think he'll do well. So
yeah,
I think that comparison.
I like it. Yeah, I think it's very true. Just he's gonna be likable the entire time. I don't see him winning, but these former athletes, they normally do really well, especially when they're calm like that. So yeah, he's in a good spot.
And people, it's, you know, some people do get blinded by age out there, and it's like, oh, he's the old guy, not paying attention to the fact that I feel like he can just really crush some of these challenges. I can't even imagine standing across from him in a physical challenge. I would just, it would not be pretty.
Yeah.
I would
just jump off. I'd be like, I don't want to like break a leg or anything. Right. I'll take the hit. Yeah.
I love that. All right, whoever wants to do it, I've already done 8 and 9, so you guys want to just back and forth until you catch up, I guess.
Yeah, I think Tom was my 8, I said.
7. I had Tom as your 7, yeah.
Okay.
My 8, I have Missy, for reasons stated before.
Simple.
All right, I'll break new ground with my boy Dan Spilo.
Okay.
He's on that winning tribe. He had his one little run in, but like, didn't get defensive about it, didn't make a scene about it, was just like, I'm sorry, you're right, we'll move on. And it seems to be buried. And he's that perfect guy. Like, I feel like he's very smart in terms of putting that target on Jason real early, but not pushing it too hard. And he's also got that thing where it's like he's big and physical and strong, but he's not Jack or Tommy or, you know, Dean when you look at him. So I feel like he's got longevity in the game.
Yeah, they're setting him up, I think, as like a deep player. I mean, just like watching that, it's like he's evil, whatever, and then it's like, oh, but he's understanding and he gets it, and like everybody else gets it, and they're willing to, like, he's willing to work with them when they come out up to him and feel uncomfortable. And yeah, I just feel like that's too much positive in such a negative situation. That they could have easily just kept as Vince from Worlds Apart, where it was like, oh my God, Jen doesn't even want to be near him. You know, like it's too easy. So,
my number 9, I have Lauren. Yeah, I think she like was really fun to watch and, you know, seemed to be integrating with the tribe pretty well. And she's on the winning tribe. So, yeah, there you go.
It's going to be really funny if the Purple Tribe just goes on a losing streak. Like, the whole world would be shocked.
All right.
I do not see that happening at all.
Yeah, I think.
Absolutely not. I paused there because I was like, could this really happen? It's like, no, we're good. Number 10, I have Tom at number 10. You know, he's our big old Johnny Mundo. And, you know, I think he's probably like 260 pounds of like just muscle, which is insane. So like he can win a challenge if he needs to.
And no spleen. I want to throw that out there every time I can.
He has no spleen.
That's what he said. I think so. He says he had no spleen. I'm just like, that's insane. I don't know what your spleen does, but that's crazy.
I didn't even know they'd let you go play without a spleen.
I didn't know you could live without a spleen. Like, what's going on here?
Probably Americans can't. Canadians are tougher, you know?
That's what it is. That's what it is. Rick, we didn't get your number 9, I don't think, did we?
Was Dan not my number 9?
Dan was your number 8.
Dan was my number... Man, I keep thinking I'm one ahead of where I am.
I know.
I'm going to go back to the Orange Tribe. Now that they've gotten rid of Ronnie and Aaron is kind of on the outs with the vote, I feel like that makes Dean real important to them. And we saw nothing of Dean. So I'm going to go with Dean. I have no idea what he is. He did mess up the grappling hook thing, but he's obviously like a super – and the puzzle, actually. not a great first showing for Dean. But I feel like if you look around that that tribe, you're like, man, we can't just get rid of all these physical guys. And Dean voted with us, so they'll keep him around.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. And I think we would have heard something from him earlier if he was going to go. I think he's probably going to be a pre-merger or somewhere right at the merge. But I think we would have heard something from him in the premiere if he was going to go in episode 2, considering he voted the right way.
Yeah.
So yeah, Rick is really obsessed with this puzzle, though. Yikes.
I mean, did you see how poorly those three did on that puzzle?
It was horrible. It was like the worst.
It's like a piece fit and they undid it. That's what I didn't understand. And you know whose idea that was?
Oh, my girl.
If I ever meet watching, I'm so, like, I think you're fine. It's just Phil put you in this position.
If I ever meet Chelsea, I'll be sure to tell her. Don't worry. I'll be like, Chelsea, Rick Devin says, like, what the heck? Your puzzle abilities are just terrible. So if I ever meet her, I'll be sure to tell her she's not good at that, but everything else is good.
I'm a huge IMDb fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. Who isn't? I mean, who isn't? That's where I get all my news. Like, literally all of it.
Absolutely. It's like, what happened with Trump and Ukraine today, IMDb?
Yeah, please tell me. My number 10, I actually have Vince. I'm surprised Vince's name hasn't come up yet, but maybe you guys are just worried because he got votes.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I had him as my first boot. Intern had him as his first boot in the bootless game. I like him a lot. I think he's really good. I think he fits in super well. That's such a great odd trio of Tom, Elaine, and Vince. Yeah. And I think Vince just gets along with everybody else. Yeah, he got votes, but I think they would honestly probably, even though the girls all want to stick together, I think one of the girls has a better chance of going home, maybe like a Karishma or something like that, before he does, just because there's really no reason to get rid of him right now.
Yeah, and I did hear in like exit interviews from Ronnie that he felt like Karishma was in with he and Aaron, whereas Vince was obviously in with Elaine and Tom and the girls. So I agree with you. I think he is in a better spot than maybe Karishma is at this point. Mm-hmm.
And who's your number 10? Rick.
Oh, me? I'm going to go with someone who I drafted on my fantasy team because I did the fantasy draft with Wardog and Gavin and Aurora and Vic. In fact, we're going to be checking up on our fantasy team every week in a format like this. It's Edge of Ponderosa. This is all Wardog's brainchild. So that's coming at you soon.
I can't wait. All of us. Yeah, are you doing it through Fairplay?
Yes. No, we're not. We're disassociating. Wow. We're our own thing now.
Wow. We just had to
fix, because he was like, yeah, I'll do it for you. And we were like, cool, man. Thanks. And then we did it. And then he said, oh, I'm giving it to my patrons first. We're like, okay, that's fine. You did it forever. But that was the end of the partnership.
So if we want any of you guys to come onto our podcast moving forward, do we have to like pay and sign like contracts with Edge of Ponderosa?
Did you not get my contract?
Yeah, I signed it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Sorry, Phil.
No, man, this will not be in podcast form. It'll strictly be on YouTube. We're just going to have fun with it because we had so much fun doing the draft. But I'm going with Elizabeth because even though she's in trouble, because obviously people are going to figure out she lied, I assume people already know she lied because it was such a bad lie. And because the first thing I would do is be like, oh, that's so neat. Let us see that note you talked about. Like, that's so cool. But no one seemed to care. Like, even though she would have been an easy vote because she went away, like, everyone seems to love her. I would want her on my team as a swimmer, so I'm going to go with Elizabeth.
Yeah, I disagree so much, Rob. I really do. I just
because she's going to get caught in that lie?
Oh, yeah. I think that what's going to end up happening is if Aaron has any game, which he might not have any game, I don't know. But if he has any game and they lose again, that's such an easy person to point to. Oh, she got to go to the Island of the Idols. Kelly, we know, is going because in the preview, they literally show Kelly going, which is crazy. But
yeah,
like, we know
that too. It's like, then just show us the note in the episode.
Yeah. Also, like, why not just show us next week's episode? Like, you could have just added it on to the end of this one.
Surprise. That's how TV works.
I mean, why are you giving me the preview of like what could be the biggest part of the episode? That's crazy to me. Right.
I think the only saving grace
of a giveaway is it?
It could be. I mean, we don't know how it's going to impact the game, but a lot of it revolved with Elizabeth. A lot of the episode revolved around Elizabeth and her coming back and this lie and everything bad that happened.
Elizabeth was going.
Yeah.
We
knew Elizabeth was going?
We saw in the preview that Elizabeth was like, oh my gosh, Robin Sandra.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. See, I didn't know that. I don't do my homework until the season starts. So.
Yeah.
I think Elizabeth, she could be in a lot of trouble.
I think Elizabeth's saving grace is that, like, okay, so Rick, imagine if you were on the island and one of, like, you were on Island of the Idols and someone was like, guys, Rob and Sandra are here. Like, are you going to believe them? Like, I don't know. It might seem a little crazy.
I would, because it's so crazy. Like, why would you make something that could so easily be disproven? But that takes you right back to Elizabeth, where it's like,
Yeah.
Did you ask Rob and Sandra for an idea of what to tell people? Because you probably should have. That would be my first idea. Question. Yeah.
I'm so shocked.
She said, like, I got a note. It's like, when you're on Survivor, anything you can take home as a souvenir, you keep. Like, we're fighting over the tree mail. We're fighting over the beads for various reasons. But, like, absolutely, you're not getting rid of the note that says you didn't win anything. Yeah. So for her to not have that is all the evidence I need that she lied. And if I think she lied, I think she has an idol. Why else would she lie?
And that's why I think Aaron might be able to get hers, because he can turn around and say, guys, do you really want to play with Elizabeth, who has already been there? She might have an idol. We can get her now before she knows it's coming. She's clearly lying to all of you. Why would you trust somebody this early? Because it's such a blatant lie. I mean, it's blatant.
But I just feel like people have to know that, and they seem to not care anyway, which makes me think maybe she's so likable, and maybe that female alliance is so strong that she just doesn't have anything to worry about. Like, I feel like Missy's going to fill her in on everything that she missed, but who knows, man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My, okay, that's fine. My number 11, I have Molly. A little bit low, but I just fear because sometimes, man, I always go back to the Morgan Rickey thing. I loved her the first episode, and I was like, damn, Morgan Rickey is great. I can't wait to see where she's going to go. And then she goes home the next episode. And I was like, why? Like, what happened there? So I worry that, like, maybe Molly is just somebody who's such good TV. They want to get as much of her in as possible. And then if they lose, so I just have her a little low for that. But I love what we saw of her in the first episode. And, you know, when you're doing 19, it's like, I got to hedge my bet a little bit. And it's kind of hard to do. There's only like three people I think could go home.
By the way, like, that Morgan was one of the early boots that really hurt me. I really liked her so much and was just flabbergasted when they got rid of her.
Yeah, that was brutal. Who wants to do their 11 next?
My 11, I have Kelly. I thought it was really cool that she was able to, like, not just be like, oh, I hate Dan for this, but, like, be active in going and, like, repairing the situation. And I thought, like, socially, that's a really good thing to have. So it was good. It was cool that they showed us that, like, this is the person who goes and, like, will fix problems, like, socially, and not just, like, dwell on it and, like, hold a grudge or anything.
And I totally agree with that. I thought that was cool. But I also think if you're that averse to human contact on Survivor, like, it's totally okay. And I'm glad she said something. But, like, that's a problem because you guys are all over each other out there. When it gets cold, when it gets hot, you almost turn into monkeys, like, you know, picking stuff off. I mean, it's just not a good place to be if you're a germaphobe. And if you got that going on, stressing you out, it takes your attention away from the rest of the game.
Yeah, it's tough how I get the read on how that's going to play out, because they showed us that for a reason. And it's to set up Dan or Kelly or something further down the line. I actually have Kelly at 12. I put her lower. I wanted to almost move her even lower, but then there's just some people I'm like, I don't know who you are. Like, I have Dean at 13, and I'm just like, I don't know. Like, sure.
Yeah.
Why not? But, yeah, Kelly, that's going to be interesting, because at first I sat there and I was like, why is she so bothered by this? Like, you're on Survivor. And then I was like, okay, I understand why she's bothered by this. Like, this is creepy. This is weird. But I like the social game she's able to play with it. Like, Dan does not feel threatened by Kelly right now. And I think that's huge. I think that means she's doing something really, really well. But I worry, like, if they go to Tribal and they don't get rid of Jason, is Kelly's name going to come up? Because there was the littlest conflicts that come up around a tribe, it doesn't matter sometimes. It doesn't, and you could be the person who's right, but you still go home.
Right. Just to alleviate the situation. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Something inside baseball with Dean that I noticed that makes me like him, his longevity more. They had a scene around that camp, and he was weaving palm fronds. And I just know from my experience on the show that most of the big guys did not ever weave palm fronds. I tried to get in there because that's where there was a lot of the talk going. So Keith and I would be there. But the fact that he's putting himself in that position, I think, is going to endear him to some of the women on that tribe that were also weaving the palm fronds. They're going to go, this is a big, tough guy who's totally fine with us. And you know, I think that shows good things for him socially.
I agree. And I think that's why it was interesting that he voted the right way, despite being shown as like an extension of Aaron and Ronnie. And I think it's probably the women telling him, like, we're good. This is who we're voting for. And we like you enough. We respect you enough.
I agree.
That's a really cool point, honestly. Like, I never would have thought about, like, paying attention to that. So
When you go out there, weave palm fronds and chop bamboo. Okay, Robert?
Right. We'll do. Duly noted. I'll get it like tattooed like on my arm or something. Like, okay, weave palm fronds. Done.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be an interesting tattoo to have for the rest of your life.
Yeah, right above where it says, I am sensitive. Like, I am here.
I am. Are we at number 12 now?
Rick is still on 11.
Okay.
I'm going with Elaine. For all the reasons you said, like, I love Elaine. She's great. The only thing that makes me nervous is that she has a target on her early, and sometimes it just makes it easier to keep a target on someone. But I think the fact that her majority won, she's in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. All right, now you're both on 12. I've already done up to 13. I'm sprinting, you know? I can't help it.
You got to get back to this party, bro.
I know. I'm so selfish.
Chelsea's out there with everyone else.
I know. She's out there listening, yelling, you know?
Waiting to make sure she was number one.
Yeah. I got the thumbs up emoji. You know? Okay, that's all I got. As soon as in the first 5 minutes, and then I think I heard somebody jump into a pool. So we're all good. God, we're gonna get in trouble. None of that is true. None of that is real. I swear. Okay. Who do you have at number 12?
Chelsea uninvited from the finale.
You know, right? Yeah. And that's that. Who's number 12 here, guys?
Go, man.
My number 12, I have Dean. This is about like my threshold of like we didn't see anything about him other than he had really cool shoes. So like this is my like below him is like
they got his shoes. They didn't.
Great shoes. I don't know. He was rocking them. It was great.
That's all intern has talked about.
Man. Well, I mean, that's the only thing we've seen of him. Is this
we shoes. Know what we're getting Robert for Christmas.
I would love a new pair of shoes. That'd be great. But yeah, like this is my threshold. Like below this, I'm like, ooh, I think I saw some bad things that I, you know, probably are not good for Survivor. But because we saw nothing, like this is, you know, he's the threshold.
He's the threshold. I love that. He's the threshold.
Yeah.
Who's your 12, Rick?
Lauren. I'm going with Lauren. I think you guys covered it perfectly before. Big personality, doesn't seem bothered. No reason to believe she can't do really well.
Now, how do you think that just having the name Lauren, does that give her like a benefit on this season? Or like, because you play with a Lauren who made it all the way to Final Five.
I didn't see a lot of eye rolls out of this Lauren. Although I got to say, our Lauren first 11 days was a totally different Lauren than the rest of the game. So who knows what's to come?
Who knows? We don't know that this is, I like the finger thing there. Ooh.
Yeah. Hopefully she'll be as good at finding idols as the Lauren on my season was and be the, I think Lauren was the very, yeah, found the very first idol. So that would be a great thing for this Lauren on the Island of Idols.
For a season called Island of the Idols, there was no idol find in the first episode.
Yeah.
I like that. I wonder
if they're out there. I imagine they are.
They have to be.
But with so much stuff coming from, we did see the idol that Elizabeth tried to win.
Mm-hmm.
But so I do wonder if there's some hidden on the island or if everything's coming from Rob and Sandra at this point.
I'm sure there's some. Hopefully it's not overkill. Hopefully there's just like one on each beach or something like that. But I'm sure that with the other advantages, it's all going to be in there. Like it's all going to be coming from the Island of the Idol. So that's what I think at least. Okay.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Who wants to jump in with 13?
I'll go with 13 just to, you know, alternate. I have Dan here. The reason I put him below my Dean threshold is I didn't like it seemed like he was just annoying people. I mean, going back to the Kelly thing. And I don't know if it was good that he was able to like reconcile when Kelly approached him, but the fact that he could be annoying people based off of some of his actions and not notice it probably isn't the best thing to have.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that. I just feel like villain. I just feel like Dan going home in episode two is funny.
I did not get a villain vibe from him. That's so interesting that you have him as the villain.
I don't know what just happened over here. Is that a random sound coming out? So, Rick, you're talking.
Like, did what I say, was that what I said, that shocking, Phil?
No, my iTunes just randomly turned on, and I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden I just hear something else start talking, and I'm like, who is this? Maybe it's not that shocking. I mean, he did have that one confessional early that was very villainous.
Was like, that just separating the people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe because I did that same thing on my team and didn't see myself as a villain. Maybe that's what it is.
Rick Devens is the biggest villain in the last 25 years, people. I'm talking in the world.
It's true. It's true. Not only did I destroy Survivor.
Yeah. Not only. Who are you putting at 13, Rick?
I am putting our good friend Chelsea at 13.
Speaking of being a villain.
She did a great job in everything except the puzzle. And I will say, in Aaron, in his exit interviews, the thing that I thought was not a good sign was he said that she quit the puzzle. Mm. She said that once they started beating her, she just stopped. That might be just his perception and he's gone, so it doesn't matter. But if that's the perception of other people on the tribe, that's not good. But like socially seemed great when Elizabeth came back. Oh, I missed you. And then Elizabeth missed, like, so I think she's fine. I'm not worried about her.
I just feel like when, if you're looking at the all women's alliance, I feel like she's going to be like almost a hub of that. I feel like she's going to be able to like bridge whatever sides there are of that. Like she'll be able to get along with Elaine. And even like when Elaine, Vincent, and Tom were talking, like, Chelsea was just kind of like there. She was always kind of around, not when they were in the woods at first, but later on in the episode. So I think that like her being around like that sets up really well for her social game. And sometimes you can be a little forgiving of giving up in a puzzle when you're losing by so much if you're very, very, very like likable.
Yeah, I can see that. I think I have Missy as that hub. Mm. So that's probably why I didn't have Chelsea as that hub. But I think you're right. It could just as easily be Chelsea.
Mm-hmm. My number 14, I have Dan. So I still don't think he's going home. I would say that Dan is probably the first person out of everybody we've talked about that I actually think could go home this week. I've already kind of said what I feel about him, but you know, not too low. I'm not you know saying, oh, he's definitely done this week. I think there's a couple people on his tribe that are definitely going home before him, or at least that were, you know, if they don't swap soon, are in a lot of trouble. But Dan at 14, and he's from LA, Rick. And I didn't even put him at number 2. So,
I haven't met him yet.
Yeah,
huge gap.
Next week he's going to be like, my number 2.
Yeah,
I ran into him.
Well, it's the same thing, Rick. I know you probably didn't listen to all of our pregame stuff or any of it. I don't, you know, I'm not offended. I'm just hurt.
I listened to so much Survivor last year.
But the only reason I love Tommy Sheehan so much is because he name dropped us on his podcast with Wiggler. So it's like, of course you're my favorite. Tommy, you are just my hero. And like, that's all it takes. I'm pleased.
Totally with you, bro. If any of them had been like, I want to play like Rick Devens, I'd have been like, that's the guy. But they all chose Wendell, which I get, dude. If I had to choose between me and Wendell, come on.
I don't know.
Wendell.
Who do I like more, Rick or Wendell? That's a tough one.
Even if you haven't met Wendell, you know.
That's choosing between your mother and father. That's really hard.
Wendell didn't go to BT, though. I don't know.
True. Maybe so. You're right. I do like Wendell more. Thank you, intern. You're right.
I got you. Got you, Rick. Yeah. Oh, that was the wrong way. This is
I have to do some research.
You're used to the mirrored stuff with the you know, like broadcasting.
I have a lot of TV experience. I'm available.
I saw that. I saw that.
I know. Oh. Getting a little baby. All right. Anyway.
We don't do tears here, Rick. Not on this podcast.
I'm holding it in, Phil. Glad for you giving me my first opportunity since I became unemployed.
We knew.
I'll never forget it.
I just want everybody to know Rick actually reached out to us and said, hey, guys, I'm pretty desperate right now.
Yes, please. I know you don't normally have someone on episode 1, but please.
I will give you money to be on the podcast. Please.
Yeah. I had to go to Alexa's house and cut her internet connection. Yeah.
And therefore, everybody, this podcast is now officially sponsored by Rick Devens for the rest of time because he's paid off my kid's college fund by just getting himself on this podcast.
Sponsored by Rick Devens, care of Sia.
That's it. I love it. All right, Rick, who's your 14?
My 14, I think I'm going back to the Misfit tribe and going with – do I have Vince yet?
No.
Vince.
All right.
Boy, Vince.
What was your take on Vince before the season started, Rick?
I thought he was going to be out pretty quick. he didn't seem like he was going to really bring it in challenges. He seemed like he could be a little much at times, but then on the show, it's like, I would have liked him a lot out there, especially the way he was getting it done around camp. So I'm high on Vince. I think you make it past that first one, and he's actually in a lot better shape now, especially because he was with the numbers, and he can kind of show what he's about.
Totally agree. I think I was just going to say, like, I think that sometimes, like, when you come in like somebody like Vince, there's going to be so many things that people just see right away that they're like, am I going to get along with him? But once you actually talk to them, if you can come overcome those first 3 days, it's like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Good.
Totally agree. That's what I was going to say. So,
sorry.
Stealing my topic, my point.
That's what I do. That's what I do. Who's your 14, Robert?
My 14, I have Karishma. I don't like, I didn't really, I feel like we got some good stuff from Karishma, but this is still based off of like the pregame stuff where she was like, oh, I'm usually like very aggressive and I like to get my point out there, but I'm going to try to hide that. And I feel like, you know, you hear people say like your Survivor brings you to who your true self is, like whether you like it or not. And if she can't avoid that, I don't know if she can avoid being confrontational on the island and like, you know, not make people mad at her.
Especially if that tribe melts down the way we think it will. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, she's my number 15 for that exact reason. I didn't really see anything from her I didn't like, but I worry that it could just be like a ticking time bomb where it's
She's my number 14.
No, you're on 15.
She's my number 15. For that and because of what Aaron said on his way out, which was that he felt like Karishma was with he and Aaron more than the others. Strategically, so if the other females in that female alliance feel that way, that puts her at least at the bottom of that, so which is not a great place to be.
Yeah,
I do think guys like Tom and Vince that they might rather have.
I completely agree. I think that if it's not going to be Elizabeth, if Elizabeth is able to overcome the lie, then Karishma is the next person out of the females who would go home, I think. My number 16, I have Elizabeth. So, you know, getting into that, maybe that's a little low, but man, sometimes you just see a lie like that. And I just can't help it. I'm just like, is she going to recover? We didn't see any confessionals of anybody complaining about it or saying anything negative about it. That doesn't mean they weren't thinking that.
Yeah. But everyone out there has to think she's lying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just know in my experience, everyone on my tribe would have thought she was lying about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intern, I skipped you.
Yeah, it's okay. My 15, I put Vince for, you know, he got a few votes, which isn't very good. But if you can make it through, I think like the next few tribals are like his danger point. And if he can make it through that, he'll be, you know, pretty solid for the rest of the game. And then moving on to 16, I also have Elizabeth at 16. Hmm. Because, you know, saw some kind of bad gameplay, arguably bad gameplay of, you know, going up against Boss and Robin fire making, maybe not the best strategic move, but yeah. I mean, she kind of got saved that, like, you know, they didn't show her no vote. Cause that really could have blown things up.
Yeah.
But the fact that she dodged that and then, you know, I think she can save the lie, but you know, it doesn't look too good for her.
Rick, before we get to your number 16, if you go out there and you're offered to make fire against Boss and Rob, what do you say?
There, no way. Not especially when he just showed me like how quick he makes fire. I would definitely just feel, although I would also feel like, you know, the situation with my tribe, it's like it was pretty clear who it was going to be. So my vote really doesn't matter that much. Like maybe it is worth it. Like who cares if I have a vote or not? But I would certainly not believe that I could beat Boston Rob at fire. Mm-hmm. Like if I went against him, it'd because I didn't feel like I had anything to lose. But no, that's crazy.
I would say like, no, but could we do it for fun? Like just to see how it would go. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, let me just do this for posterity. You got going on.
Just so we just know don't have to film it. Cameraman, turn off your cameras.
Yeah.
You know, based on what we saw, and I don't know how they'd go about manipulating that, but she did really well. Like it seemed like she was really close at times. So good on her, I guess. That shocked me. I thought she'd have nothing before he got, and obviously he was going slow, but
It looked like she had the fire. She just couldn't get it to go up.
Right.
She didn't have the TP that actually got the air under it to launch it up. It was just kind of like a smoldering low fire.
I was ready for them to do some like fun editing stuff, and you see her like putting like the husk together, and then you like pan over and Austin Robb's fire is already like burning the thing down or something.
That
like
is it was exactly really what I out. Expected. Yeah, and it would have been hilarious. Got a cat on my shoulder.
Oh my god, I have a t-shirt that literally says I have a, and then it's the Pixel cat, and then on my shoulder it actually says that. Awesome. It says that. Reggie Watts, if anybody knows Reggie Watts, he used to perform all the time out in LA, and he would do like a weekly thing, and he would sing a song called "There's a Cat on My Shoulder and I Want It to Run." So we made shirts for it.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
It was ridiculous. So I don't want to take your thunder here, Rick, but if your 16 is Kelly, we all have the same final. We all have the same bottom three. Do you?
I got Aaron.
Aaron, you done messed up.
I got Aaron. No, I think that he's going to recover. I think that they're not going to want to get rid of all their muscle. And I feel like he seems like a guy who's like pretty good socially. And even I just hope he's not too, you know, the preview showed him being a little bent out of shape. And it's like, you can't get that. But I know from experience that it's a mistake to just burn those bridges. So I hope he doesn't do that. And I don't think he will. I think he's going to be okay. And even though he's on that tribe, I just feel like there are three people on the purple tribe that we'll talk about your edit are just in rough shape right now.
I like to always put like one person from each tribe near the bottom. And I just think purple's going to win. So that's why I have Aaron lower, because I just think they're going to win. Although, I mean, two of the people that we all still have alive here, which are Jason and Nora, I think are in just so much trouble. I do think, though, and that'll lead into my 17. My 17, I have Jason, because I think Jason we're supposed to root for to overcome what is happening to him. Or at least we're like, he had that confession of like, I don't want this to happen. This is a nightmare. At least we had that. Nora looks like she's being set up to be like crazy this week. So I think I'll kill mine here. I have Jason 17, Nora 18, Aaron 19, just because I do think that Lyro is going to lose again. And being that there's such huge fans on Lyro, I think they assume that his swap is coming pretty soon and they're not too worried about getting rid of their muscle.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, so. The only thing about Nora is they made it like the preview was all Nora being crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it almost can't be her that goes, but that's probably because Orange loses, like you said.
yeah. And that's why I have Aaron and Elizabeth and Karishma kind of down there, just because those are the only three I can see going home from that tribe.
But I have Nora at the very bottom, just because not only, like, even before we saw her going crazy last week, what we saw this week was like her whole tribe having one target and then her being like, that's who I'm aligning with. Yeah. That's the guy I want to be with. And it's just like, he might have an idol. Like, he went off. So if you are going against the guy who everyone wants out and he plays an idol, Nora, where does that put you?
That puts you as the split vote person who goes home.
Yeah. So I just feel like she's not only being portrayed as erratic next week, but also just not a great game player.
Mm-hmm.
So she's at the very bottom. And then that leaves me with Kelly and Jason.
In that order?
I think, in that order. Kelly better than Jason.
Okay.
Just because Jason rubbed feathers by going out and looking for the idol, but Kelly also seemed to rub some feathers by having issues around camp.
Right.
And pregame, she said that she felt like she was smarter than everybody, and that was going to be a problem. And it's like, if that's your attitude – and you're willing to admit that to the entire nation before you even play, it's like that doesn't.
Yeah,
that's. I mean,
what do you think Jason's best way out of this is?
I think just by he's just got to really ingratiate himself and put the target on someone else. Like, throw Nora under the bus as hard and fast as you can. Make it totally obvious, like, that you don't have an idol. He almost needs to like go looking for an idol again to prove he doesn't. I don't know how you prove that you don't have an idol, but I think just really get people to like you and make them hopefully trust you enough so that you can say, listen, I screwed up, but I do not have an idol.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I was asking the person who played Survivor.
Sorry.
I mean, I don't know if you want to, what did they do in 35 where like Alan Ball was like, I don't know why I'm referencing Alan Ball so much, but he's like, I want you to strip down your clothes and like show me that you don't have an idol. Right. Yeah. I mean, I would be willing to do that if that's what it took. But like, I mean,
but even then, I'd be like, oh, he buried it somewhere.
Right, yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if I feel like he can maybe work his way out of it, but like that preview for Nora just seems like so bad.
Yeah.
Just to round up my list, I have Jason 17, Aaron 18, Nora 19.
Yeah, and a lot of times I always feel like they want to hide the boot a little bit, but this week I could see them like just being like, well, it's the second episode. Nobody really knows who anybody is yet. Nora, this could almost be like a Drew Christie situation where it's like, she's just going to be really crazy. This episode's going to be really fun. Here comes. Like, we're just going to tell you it's coming because that's what this episode is. So like, sometimes that just happens.
I would be so here for that too. I would love it.
We haven't had an episode like that in a really long time where there's just one person who is so over the top.
Season one, Edge of Extinction.
What happened in Edge of Extinction?
You remember that tribal?
That's true.
I mean, she's a legend and she's amazing, but that tribal was like tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that they didn't hide anything going into tribal, at least.
That's true. I guess we couldn't really see a next time on for that.
Right. Yeah. Because,
Yeah. So that makes it a little bit tougher. But yeah, maybe it is Nora this week. But the way we always solve that problem, Rick, is we put you on the spot and make you pick an eliminator. So do you understand what the eliminator is? Nobody ever does.
Fill me in.
Okay, so here we go. So the way it works,
Phil,
P-H-I. Yeah, we're going to be doing jokes like that the rest of the night. I love that you just know where to look, because I'm looking the wrong way. I'm trying to look at the fan right now, and I'm going, I don't know. So the way it works is it's just like an NFL pool, which anybody who's listening to this on Sunday, they're probably miserable because the Rams lost. So if you took the Rams this week, you're out. But I didn't take the Rams, so I'm not out. But what it is you take one player each week, and you can only take them once, and it has to be the person who doesn't get voted out. But what makes this tough is, unlike the NFL, teams don't disappear each week. So only the team you pick, you can't pick again. In Survivor, you're also having to navigate people who are getting booted. So for instance, last year, if I used Chris Underwood week one as my eliminator, and then used Rick Devens week two, that's good because then Chris went home in week three. So he's out of the game, and he's somebody I couldn't pick anyway. So, like, you're kind of trying to pick who the next
I can't, like, save a strong player, and then they end up getting booted, and I never got to use them.
Exactly. But one of the cool things for you is, because you're on Team Survivor, each week we always have a guest. And so what works for you is you can just be really selfish like Bradley was last year and like some people get. And what you do is you say, well, I don't want to be the one who screws it up for the entire team. I want to make sure that my person stays. So you take like the safest person.
Oh,
so you can do it either way.
Whatever happens with me,
you're starting it off for the rest of Team Survivor. So you could either start them.
Do you
off
know who your next guest is yet?
We do. We do know who our next guest is.
Can you preview that, or is that are you saving? I don't want to put you on the spot.
1972 Best Picture winner.
1972 Best Picture winner.
Yeah.
Rocky?
No, it was before that. Marlon Brando, Al Pacino.
Godfather?
Yeah, that one.
Outstanding. I'm gonna be a team player for Carl.
Okay.
I'm gonna take Janet.
Okay.
I can't imagine them getting rid of Janet week two. They'd be idiots, and I will root against all of them.
I would be right there with you. Rick and I would be having hate watch parties.
Everyone would be dead to me. Even the people who voted with her. How could you let this happen?
Yeah, exactly. You had to have known. Warn her, give her an idol, fake one. What does matter?
Exactly.
Anything. We didn't get Vaughn's pick, but Vaughn took Nora week one. See, like, Vaughn always is good at this. That's the other guy that we have fill in every now and then. He always does our fantasy game with us. And he's always good at this. Last year, his fantasy team was terrible. And then he ended up with three of the final four because he had Chris Underwood, Gavin, and you. And it's insane because at the beginning, I was making fun of him. Like, you're done, man. You're done. And then he does that. And then you turn around and you look here and he picks Nora in week one of the Eliminator game. And I just sit here and I'm like, how do you do it every year? How do you do it every year? I took Elizabeth, though. So I'm actually feeling pretty confident for my first week one. This week, I'm going to go with Dean because I think he's going to be a pre-merge person. But because we didn't get anything from him week one, I like him to at least survive this boot. And I want to take some people on Lyro because I think they're going to end up being on the wrong side of the numbers. So that's who I'm going to go with. Intern, who you like?
I'm taking the reins for Team Alexa for a little bit. And I'm also going to go with Dean. He seems like a safe pick for now, but, you know, a mystery.
Wow. We normally don't pick the same people, so this is crazy. We could both be out, and it's just Team Survivor versus Vaughn the rest of the year. Oh, what fun.
I should probably switch, but I already said it, so I got to stick to it.
That's it. That's it. I mean, you don't have to, but...
I'm a man of my word, Phil.
That's it. See, I can do this thing, Rick, where it's like, intern, why don't you change your pick? And then he goes away. And I'm like, whoa. And he comes back. Right, and now he's here, Phil. Yeah, thank you. Oh, hey, now we can do the Brady Bunch thing. There he is. He's down there.
Hey. Yeah.
I love this. This is a Brady Bunch thing. But but yeah, so there's that. That's pretty much everything we have, at least with the Eliminator game, with the power rankings. Rick starting us off, I think, strong. I think you're going to start us off strong here, Rick. And Carl, I just want to tell you, last year when Carl did this with us for season 37, he was during your episode and he correctly picked that you were going to go home when nobody else saw it coming.
I so didn't see it coming.
No, you got a master.
I did after the swap. But
yeah, so he somehow got that on the swap episode. It was pretty unbelievable. So yeah, big shoes coming up after this. So hopefully your pick of Janet is enough to keep everybody alive here.
Carl is like must listen podcasting too. That's going to be a really good episode.
I always love getting Carl on here. Anytime we can get Carl on, which is Carl loves it. He's just like anytime, man. Whatever you need, he loves it. So he didn't show up in the chat today, Rick. I don't know what's going on here. I'll have to text him.
It's probably me.
That's it.
Like I got plenty of Devins last season, Phil. All right.
You were on last season?
Yeah, barely.
Barely. That's what I said.
You were on Amazing Race last season?
Yeah.
So cool.
Right. I ran with Brett LaBelle.
Oh, yeah.
No. Carried his bag like the whole time.
The whole time. And carried him. Yeah, right? Yeah. Didn't Chris have him on his back sometimes? Okay. So that's all we got. Rick, do you have anything else you want to leave? Parting words here. Anything else you got to say to us?
Hey, man. No, I loved it. We're going to be doing the Edge of Ponderosa, so maybe you guys can join us sometime this season. But it's going to be like real short. It's just fun, us keeping up with our fantasy teams mostly. But we'll drop it soon, and you guys are awesome. I enjoyed it. Robert, man, good I don't know. You. Do something to fix our Hokies.
Oh, God. There's nothing we can do. I think we're just shot for the rest of the season. We'll beat UVA. Yeah. As usual, and then, like, I don't know. Outside that, it's going to be a rough one.
Yeah.
UVA is really good, dude. You ain't beating UVA this year. UVA, like, they play pretty good against Notre Dame.
They're cursed. Like, 14 years in a row. If there's one thing Hokies can do, it's beat UVA. And clearly, they're saving all of their energy for the last game of the season.
Clearly. Hopefully, like, they're saving all their players. Starters. My God. Yeah. Yikes. But anyway... Now that the Hokies have taken over the podcast.
Take that, Jack.
Yeah.
UVA grad.
You put him in number one.
But he's also now at JMU, and I do love JMU. I had a lot of friends 2 hours up the road from Virginia Tech at JMU.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's much more respectful. I like JMU. Yeah. I can get that.
We'll settle.
All right. Well, that's it for our episode 2 predictions and power rankings. Alexa is still on hiatus doing her MLB fun, so we'll see when she actually comes back, when she's able to pop in. Until then, it's going to be me and Robert. We'll be back again on Wednesday. And if you're not a patron yet, but this sounds like fun and you really enjoyed listening to our power rankings conversation here, if you go and join our Patreon, you can become a $20 patron and participate in this power rankings game.
Just $20?
Just $20.
Oh my gosh, that's a bargain.
Oh my God. Unbelievable, right?
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah, absolutely. If I were, I'd sign up right now.
You get to participate against people like Rick. You are. He paid us $20. You get to participate against people like Rick Devins, Carl Boudreaux, a bunch of other people from Edge of Extinction will be coming up later in the season. So it's plenty of fun. It's $20. You get to do it each week. You're always in it. At least that's the way it always feels.
And if you don't have $20 to spend per month, you know? Just any amount.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
$1, $5, $10.
The original Survivor Specialist Will is back, and we're doing a podcast where Will and I just recap each episode, and that's for $5, $10, and $20 patrons. We also have retrospectives we do for $10 patrons. We have Q&As we do for $5 and up, and then we have a Facebook group for $1 patrons. So if you want to get more content, we have plenty of it that's coming out. We're always trying to find new ways. So you can join our Patreon there. You can also follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, @Survivor Specialists. And other than that, we will see you on Wednesday. Rick, thanks so much for joining us. This was really fun. Always is.
Pleasure, guys. Love talking with you guys. I'm not coming back without Alexa, but it was fun.